Charles, you were telling us about this accident in taking down part of the grid. Why don't you tell us about it again?
This is basically during one of the Air Force electronic warfare exercises, usually known as Green Flag. It is, corresponds to the Red Flag exercises that occur out west. The aircraft in question actually has been since retired, but that doesn't mean that the capability doesn't exist on the newer machines. It was the EF-111 Raven, which is a variant of the bomber version of the F-111 that they use strictly for electronic warfare. And the EW officer accidentally turned up the gain, essentially the transmission power, on one of his EW packages. What it basically did was it reached into a power grid, caused an overload, which brought down part of the power grid, and I believe it was Nevada and California. It was about a 200-mile radius, and you just have to keep in mind that it's my understanding that the officer was actually only using about 10% of the real power of that machinery. You can imagine what kind of power those things can put out if they are allowed to use them in a wartime scenario. That's where we have to look at the kind of systems that we are employing today, and in particular, the F-22 Raptor is now equipped with a specialized radar called AESE.
What does that do, Charles?
The radar system can be used in the classic sense as a radar for targeting and tracking. It can also be used for communications purposes, and it can be used as an electronic warfare device, including the capability of information warfare. The AESE radar is really nothing more than a grid of microwave transmitter receivers that have been miniaturized down to a chip size. So you're not just looking at one transmitter, but you're looking at thousands in this little plain array. And the AESE radar can be used in the classic sense, just like the guy with the coffee can. They can log into computer systems. They can take control of the computer, download viruses, insert spyware. This is designed for operations against, say, enemy surface-to-air and surface-to-surface command and control networks in the military sense, but you could also use it against commercial networks.
That's right.
Or even individual computer sites. If there is a weakness, and you don't even have to have a wireless transmitter for the AESE radar to work. If you have a vulnerability access point, meaning that the radar itself can detect and receive information even from an exposed wire or an unshielded system, they can actually log in by remote and force your computer to do things you don't want it to do. And it's only going to get better. The AESE radar systems that are installed in the F-22 are very powerful. You will see them in the F-18 and the F-15 later variants. They're already proposing utilizing a much larger version of the AESE radar on the surveillance aircraft that they're planning on deploying in the near future, such as the E-8. There is one other advantage to the AESE radar. It can also be used as a weapon in itself, because the output power of this array of microwave chips that they've put together is and has already been proven to be powerful enough to overload electronics that are exposed. They have actually used it to knock down missiles in flight. This is not the classic, like, laser beam or Star Wars blaster style, where the thing just blows apart. Literally, what happens is it will reach into the electronic control systems of a missile, such as the gyroscope, the computerized chip operations, the tracking systems, guidance, and it will cause overloads on the chip at the chip level of electricity, and it will disable essentially all the electronic gear on board. At that point, the missile now becomes a flying lump, out of control and generally crashes. The reality of the situation is this appears to be far more effective against air-to-air and air-to-surface, like cruise missiles. The reasoning for that is that those missile systems have to be built with very thin skins to save weight. We're not quite sure how effective it will be against ballistic missiles with warheads in flight. A ballistic missile reentry vehicle is generally a lot heavier and much, much heavier in the shielding category because they have to operate in a nuclear warfare environment.
Charles, so, go ahead.
To give you the concept here, they do think that they may be applicable to a ballistic missile as well, but you're going to have a much more powerful radar to do this.
Story I had on at the top of the hour about the Pentagon working on using remote-controlled sharks as stealth spies by implanting neural implants in the shark's brain. When are they going to start doing that to human beings and start trying to control them, much like the Manchurian candidate?
Well, I hate to break it to you, it's already happened.
Oh, no.
Well, the problem here is that humans in the sense of direct mind control by implanting chips into your brain, that is somewhat of a difficult operation. There are, on the other hand, people that require this kind of chip control, such as epileptics, where they want to have the chip switch on and stop them from having a very dangerous seizure. That has already been applied in medical science. It is something that we're going to see more of.